Oh, that's right. Breaker, breaker, we have found her. Cat Taylor has been found in Greenwood, South Carolina this morning. So, Cat Taylor, how are you this morning?
Grateful to be found and apologetic for missing the first time slot.
Well, that's okay. Well, we know that Greenwood sometimes can be a little tricky. It's a small town, but it can be tricky to find. And you were coming from Greenville, right?
Yes, we've had a wonderful time meeting with a bunch of community-based organizations, churches, wonderful South Carolinians, and what a beautiful city that is.
It is. Greenville is very, very fast-paced. And hopefully today when you're here, you'll get to see what a lovely, lovely town Greenwood is.
Yeah, I bet I will.
Yeah, it's got a lovely uptown, and we're very proud of the restoration and stuff that's been done right here in Greenwood.
Wonderful.
So, you are the wife of Tom Steyer.
I am, for 33 years.
33 years and never had a fight, right?
Never. Never.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No.
Liar! So, Kat, one of the big things, you know, I look at people that have made big money, doing well and everything. Why the heck would you want to run for president?
Sure. Well, when we got married 33 years ago, we took two sets of vows. We certainly took our marriage pact, and we've had four children and a wonderful family life. But we also agreed to use everything we have during our lifetime to try to make the world a better place. Our time, our energy, our money, our access, everything. And we let our children know that, by the way. Subsequently, we did take the giving pledge, which you've probably heard of, a more famous vow to give half your resources as a wealthy person to good causes. But ours is complete, comprehensive. And it just turned out that historic events propelled us into Tom declaring his intent to run for president. And I can talk a little bit about that as well. But it fits into the larger theme of with privilege comes great responsibility to give back.
Exactly. But there is a lot of different ways to do that, though.
Sure.
You know, and running for president is puts the slings and the arrows out there all the time, doesn't it?
It does. And I would say, just backtracking a little bit, that Tom has done many things to try to be helpful. First and foremost, he started Next Gen America, the largest youth voter mobilization effort in American history that's still on the ground, working to have high turnout in this election cycle as well. He also, of course, is the founder of Need to Impeach. He's spent 10 years, seven of them full-time on the road, meeting people throughout America to find out what's going on, what needs to be corrected in our economy. And it's just the latest thing he determined he had to do was step up and run for president, because nobody's calling out that the corporations have bought our government and it's broken. Nobody's putting climate at the absolute top of the agenda. And nobody's as well-equipped as Tom to beat Donald Trump.
Why do you think he's so well-equipped to beat Donald Trump?
Well, we're pretty certain, given early indications, that Donald Trump's going to run on the economy. He's going to cite all the statistics that we think are false indicators of prosperity as those things which we can't give up, and we need him to continue to steward the economy. But he's, in fact, been a very bad steward of the economy. For all that we have low unemployment, we have gross underpayment of Americans. So they're all working. They're working two and three jobs, and they're not making ends meet. The stock market, that's one indicator of how much money wealthy people and big corporations are earning. And we now have a $1 trillion deficit. This is not good business practice. Tom, by contrast, is a real business person, started his company 30 years ago from scratch, didn't inherit any money, has built a highly respected business. He understands capitalism and the capital markets very, very well, and he knows how to bring real prosperity to the American people. On top of which, he's a tough New Yorker. He knows how to confront another tough New Yorker.
Okay, so you're telling me it's going to be an out-and-out brawl if that's what we come down to.
It'll be a decisive victory by Tom.
Okay, I love it. Yes, you are tenacious, my dear.
You bet.
Yeah, that's true.
Time to take a stand.
I'm trying to take a stand. One of the things that I know that you're very
interested in and everything is the climate change and how it's affecting everything. I noticed that in on Tom's website there that he's going to declare a state of emergency for the climate on the very first day.
Absolutely. It deserves nothing less. We have very short amount of time before we hit the tipping points in terms of climate change. There's irrefutable science around this, and we're seeing climate hit the ground. We've had mega weather events. Iowa alone has had 400-year floods in 10 years. They're not called 100-year floods because they're supposed to happen every 2.5. So we're overdue addressing climate change, and climate is a global problem that's not going to be solved without the United States of America turning to its position of leadership in the world. A state of emergency would give the president extraordinary powers to do something about climate. We have to reduce emissions to net zero, and we need to re-sequester a lot of carbon in order to get the edge on climate. Tom's plan is a justice-centered climate plan, starting with leadership from the frontline black and brown communities that have experienced the worst symptoms of climate so far, even though they had the least to do with causing climate change in the first place. So it is priority number one, but it's not just about climate. It's about the economy and jobs and health and all sorts of other things that are related.
It's also going to cost a lot of money. I read some of his figures on how much money he's put in there. I'm not going to go in depth to it. We don't have the time to talk about it, but that's a lot of money. Where does all the money come from for this?
Sure. So this is not only the biggest challenge America faces, it's the greatest opportunity. We literally need to rebuild America's infrastructure for an advanced energy economy. That is going to cost a lot of money. It's also going to produce tens of millions of good union, well-paid jobs. The money is coming from a return to a sensible taxation regime. Tom would revoke the Tax Relief Act of 2017 and impose a wealth tax. He was the first candidate to suggest a wealth tax, and his threshold for when it applies is lower than any of the other wealth tax plans. It's time for all Americans to contribute equally to the national needs. And right now we have a situation that's totally untenable, that the top 400 corporations have an average tax rate of 11%.
Of course, they are in the business to make money. And if they can do that, I guess so be it, right?
They will. And democracy is in the business of setting the rules that they have to adhere to.
Exactly. So I think every time you have a presidential campaign, there's always a lot of lofty goals. How realistic is that goal?
The climate goal is not only realistic, it's mandatory. Nothing else will matter if we hit these tipping points in climate. We only have one planet to occupy. It's also our moral responsibility to steward the planet, God's creation. So it's not a question of if we're going to do this. It's how we're going to do this and how feverishly we're going to do this. But honestly, I agree with Tom. America has lost its sense of purpose of late. We don't know why we're walking the planet. And having a sense of purpose is the greatest foundation for not just wealth and prosperity, but also happiness. And we have a lot of Americans dealing with opioid addiction, alcoholism, suicide. That's a reflection of a loss of purpose. If we take on the climate change and lead the world to save the world, I guarantee you everyone's going to feel great about being on the American team.
That's an interesting approach. That's an interesting approach that the world would feel good about being on the American team. Do you not think that people do feel good about being on the American team?
I do think they feel good about being on the American team, but they're waiting for it to take action on important issues, not just climate, but restoring real prosperity for Americans, regaining our moral leadership in foreign policy. I mean, we've eschewed our historic tradition of partnering with allies of other freedom and democracy-loving countries and working with our frenemies to establish ironclad agreements worldwide where we all keep our promises. So I think there's a lot of work to be done. And it's, of course, the future belongs to the optimists, and I am an optimist, but I think the American team's going to show up really well for all these challenges.
Interesting. You know, I understand that you started as a beneficial bank.
Yes, beneficial state bank, like being in a beneficial state of mind and body.
You're from California, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different world out there in California, though, isn't it?
Well, honestly, it's a bit of a microcosm for the nation. You know, we're a very big state. I know the sort of reputationally we're perceived as being, I don't know, guys, hippies that are all raging liberals. But honestly, California is more of a purple state. Interior and far northern California has a lot of red counties. So we're trying to span the political spectrum and deal with the world's challenges on the state level, just like the U.S. needs to do on the national level.
Yeah. What about all the homelessness that you have out there in California, though?
Sure. I think the estimate now is 150,000 homeless people in California. It's symptomatic of our housing mismatch. We have just a severe undersupply of housing in the state of California and nationwide. We need about 3.5 million units in California alone in the next 5 years.
At a certain price level, though, right?
A million of them need to be deeply affordable, so down to low-income housing tax credit standards. But we can do something about this. We also have 157 billionaires and over a million millionaires in the state of California, and they can step up to a new definition of wealth and invest in affordable housing so we can build those units rapidly. That would take a real edge off the homelessness problem. But I will say also, we have underfunded and neglected mental health at our peril. Mental health is just health, mm-hmm. and we need to start funding it again so people not only need a place to live, but they need resiliency psychologically. So I wanted to say just about the Beneficial State Bank. It is a bank designed to serve underserved communities. Mm-hmm. It's owned by a nonprofit. Finance has been creating inequality in American society for at least 4 decades. It's time to reverse that, because banking is quasi-public, needs to serve the public. It's the original and most powerful form of crowdfunding. Not that a specific deposit funds a specific loan, but all deposits fund a lending practice.
Sure, exactly.
And that lending practice should be restoring our environment, creating social justice, solving racial equity, and returning real prosperity to Americans.
Well, when the economy failed, it certainly became a big problem for just about any business person, small business person, to be able to get the money that they need just to run their business. I mean,
yep.
It went from, oh, sure, let's loan you some money, to, oh, my God, we can't loan you any money anymore. So
yep.
that was a big, big problem right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. It's shocking transfer of wealth in the foreclosure crisis as well, shifting wealth from low-income communities, black and brown communities, to high-net-worth individuals and corporations. It was really a debacle. And I might add, only one person went to prison in the greatest bank heist ever. So we need to run the economy differently without these deep cycles, and the banks have to be a very big part of it. They're really the largest sector of the economy now worldwide. Many of the institutions are over $2 trillion in assets. That puts makes
That's
the
a lot
veterans
of power. Yeah.
That makes the Veterans Administration at $69 billion look tiny. Mm-hmm. So in addition to that, banks outspend any other industry on political candidacies and lobbying 2-1. So we need to control the banks so that they stop making our lives miserable.
Well, hell yeah, I'm for that now. Let's just get on board here. But back to California, though.
Sure.
How I mean, we really haven't seen any movement on the homeless point, though.
Well, I point to Mayor Garcetti.
I mean, you've had massive people leaving California rather than coming to California.
Yes, and I apologize, I'm not up on the net figures.
Right.
I know until this point, we were receiving about 400,000 new people every year into California. That's roughly the population of Wyoming. California is a massive state, fifth largest economy. We can get this done on homelessness. We need the will and the funding to do it, but we're starting to see signs. Mayor Garcetti has imposed on all the communities of Los Angeles County an obligation to receive low-income housing funding so that we build units not just concentrated in already low-income communities, but across the board. I'm personally involved in an effort to raise a $50 billion housing fund that capitalizes on low-income tax credit financing and the Opportunity Zone legislation that was part of the Tax Relief Act. Put good guardrails on it, because when capital comes into communities, the communities need to have control over it. They need to have ownership, or we just set off another spree of displacement and gentrification. But that's the scale of the problem. Mm-hmm. $50 billion would build about 500,000 units of housing. We need to start talking about solutions in that realm.
Absolutely. Well, it's devastating, and particularly California is such a beautiful state. And I mean, Yes. You know, I've enjoyed visiting it, but I don't know if I'd want to go there now.
Well, I heard that in Iowa the other day as I was leaving. A woman asked me where I was from, and I said from San Francisco. And being spoiled, I thought she was going to say, oh, that's the most beautiful city in the world or something like that. And she said, I'd never go there because of the homeless crisis. So we have to deal with this.
Yeah.
Those are Americans, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, why do you think your husband would be a good president?
I think my husband is an outsider who recognizes that business as usual is not going to cut it, that we haven't gotten anything done through Congress in decades, in spite of having some of the biggest societal challenges we've ever met. I think he is independent, is not owned by any corporations, has excellent ideas about how to wrest power back from them and give it to the American people. That he is in a position and intends to put new and different people in charge. We have not been capitalizing on the incredible brain strength of this country and the lived experience, especially of Black and brown communities. We need new leadership. We need term limits so that we keep new leadership in place. We need to revise the tax system. We need to address climate change post-haste. And he's the guy who's not only willing to do that, he will be able to do that.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you a question because you keep bringing up the brown and black population. Is he too white?
You know, if Tom could be confident that another candidate could take on the corporations, deal with climate right away, and beat Donald Trump, he would be backing that person right now. The problem is he doesn't see that happening, so he's stepped up to take leadership, to get this transition done, and to put more and different people in charge, particularly, as I said, leadership from the Black and brown communities who have been boxed out of the economy and politics for too long. Tom has said that he would establish a council on American history, on retelling the American narrative, because we don't have it right in our own history books. We have not dealt with the 400 years of slavery and Jim Crow. We have not dealt with Native genocide, persecution of immigrants and refugees, less than personhood for women. We have not been honest about that history, nor have we been honest on the positive side of the tremendous contribution of all those communities to building this great nation. So he is very cognizant of the need for an honest American narrative that vaults Black and brown leadership into positions of power. And he just happens to be the person who is willing and able to do that right now.
Okay, because, you know, we hear this all the time. It's all these conversations about, yet he's put a lot of his own money into this.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
And he continues, I guess, to put a lot of money into it. He has, he's made it onto the debate stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So Tom's not a famous person. He doesn't have the visibility of the other candidates. It's a blessing and a curse. He doesn't have years in Congress when Congress hasn't been getting anything done, but he's got to raise his visibility, and he's doing that with his own money. He is, however, still funding NextGen America. Of course, as an active campaign, he's not involved in the management or leadership or direction of NextGen America, but he knows how important it is to have high turnout and a grassroots organizing effort that's robust. So he's doing both and.
Now, on a personal note, How would it be to be the First Lady of the White House?
You know, I am so focused on this campaign. I haven't thought about anything but the campaign.
You haven't sat there and thought, oh, Lord, I'd have to go in and redecorate? No.
No, it hasn't crossed my mind. You know, Tom and I are lifelong partners. We've built social enterprises together. We've been in Democratic politics for a long time. So that's still my role, is to work side by side with him to get him the visibility he needs to be elected and to beat Donald Trump.
Interesting. And one last question. I mean, in doing some research, I did see you had some tattoos.
I do.
Have you been a lifelong tattooer, or did you just come on this recently?
I came to it late in life. I'm 61 years old now. I got my first tattoo when I was 39. I have 5 of them. I love body art. I love what it announces to people, that I'm not exactly what you see.
Well, I've seen the one on your arm here. I have this picture here where you've got that one on your arm here. Yes, and we have one on your ankle or something there.
Ankle, both arms, ankle, over my heart, and one other place.
Okay, well, we've had an interesting conversation here today. One last question, and then I'm going to let you go. Thanks for sharing that, by the way, because inquiring minds wanted to know this. Okay. I understand Tom puts a cross on his hand every day.
He does. Tom is a man of deep faith. His awakening to his own religious beliefs, it runs parallel to his concern about climate. He really thinks of climate as a matter of us properly protecting and stewarding God's creation.
And he came to this later in life, yes.
A little bit later. I mean, he was raised with some religious background, but it's really an adult commitment that he's made. He is highly ritualized around his reminding himself in every way to be humble and to tell the truth every day. So he does draw crosses on his hands for that purpose. He also gets up every morning, has a cup of cold, sweet coffee, puts jasper stones in his pocket to remind him of the natural world, puts on the plaid tie that's a family plaid, puts on the African Kenyan belt to remind him of the need to always to educate girls and women for the betterment of the world. I'm probably leaving out some ritual, but it's how he keeps himself on track.
Does he turn around 3 times before?
He does go to church every Sunday, even on the campaign, and that's not an easy thing to get done.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, this has been fun.
Thank you. It's been fun for me as well. Yeah. I really appreciate the opportunity. And again, I apologize to jump time slots on you.
No, that's okay. We did it, and you're here, and I'm here. And is there anything, Kat, you would like to say before we close out here?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say that we are hoping for the largest turnout ever in American history, because this is an incredibly important election with many vital things at stake. So please, please, please register and go out to vote.
Absolutely. And would you want him to vote for your husband?
Absolutely. He's the guy who'll get it done.
All right. And that is?
Tom Steyer for president 2020.
Okay. All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Andy, you'll have to take it to the top of the hour. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much. And we will play that Alzheimer's show tomorrow morning. Bye-bye, everybody.